Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. Oh, should I change it up again? You are now listening to the Curmudgeon's Corner thingy. I'm Sam Minter. I've got Yvonne Bo with me. It is Sunday, December 5th, 2010, as I record this, as we record this, as whatever. Yeah, anyway. So we've got a couple things for you today. So first of all, you know, right before the show, we always compare notes and see what topics we have. Yvonne said he had absolutely nothing. I think his words exactly were, "I don't have shit." So yes. We will start out the conversation by talking about why Yvonne doesn't have shit. And then after that, we'll move on and we'll talk a bit about WikiLeaks. It was on my list of topics for last week, but we didn't get to it. And it's probably a good thing because all of the major events hit after we recorded. And then Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and maybe a little update on the economy. So that's the agenda for today. So Yvonne, let's get started. You don't have shit because some stuff's happened in the last few days, you said?
Yeah, one thing, I was thinking about this, like, as I was, like, picking up some stuff here at the house a little bit. During my life, I've volunteered for stuff, okay? All right? It depends on what, and maybe not continuously. Like, I used to volunteer at a hospital when I was in high school, helping people. We did the radio station in college, for example. Yep. It's not a paid job. I mean, we did that. I raised funds for the MS Society for about four or five years. I did, I don't know, all sorts of different stuff like that. Maybe not, not all the time, but not consistently. Maybe for a couple of years I stopped, but then, I'd pick up again and I'd volunteer for something, okay? So one of the things that I picked up this year I purchased this condo many years ago, and there were a lot of issues with the condo, and so I ran for the board, and I'm on the board of our condo association. I've been doing that for the past 9 months, and it's been a lot of work, to say the least. We happen to have a lunatic who there's no other word to describe this person who purchased a number of the unsold units and basically has been calling me on the phone, threatening me, threatening our employees, threatening our property managers. I'm talking about threats. I'm talking about calling up on Sundays at 7 a.m. and threatening to put a gun to them, to their head.
Okay.
Threatening to, with everything that I mean, we had to on Friday afternoon call the police.
I was going to ask, at that point, the police get involved, right?
On Friday, we had to finally call the police, and the police had to remove him from the property. Yesterday we had a scheduled meeting to review our budget, which turned into a clusterfuck because of this guy. And, then later on in the afternoon, even though our attorney had instructed him not to call me or, call any of us, he decided to call me and left a 4-minute voicemail message threatening me. I guess I've been talking to our property managers, our attorneys, to all this different people, trying to figure out what to do about this guy. At this point right now, I'm to the point that I'm just, I got to press charges against this guy for harassment. I don't see any other way out of this. It's one of those things where, it's like some people are making fun of me for volunteering for this, to be on the board, it's like a number of people, but I'm somebody, I think one thing to talk about, I feel strongly about having to volunteer. Not everything can be a paid job, and if some people don't volunteer for certain things, there are certain things that just don't get done in life, the one thing has just been like, lately with all the work that I've had to do, it's been exhausting me. And I'm like, I mean, honestly, thinking about it, like, revolving around it, but it's just, I happen to live here, too, you know? And it's, like, kind of like, you know, having a discussion with my wife. I'm like, you know, it's like, what the hell are really my choices? We live here. It's like, you know, I'm probably the most experienced person, and you know this, in terms of litigation and you know, these kinds of legal battles. I mean, you know, that probably, you know, one of the few people probably in a complex as far learning everybody that has experience with these kinds of cases. So, you know, in terms of dealing with situations like this and having to deal with the attorneys and litigation and all this stuff. And I'm just like, you know, it's like, who the heck? I mean, I give this to somebody like my other board member, who's somebody who is my neighbor here. I mean, he's never been in a lawsuit in his life. I mean, I just go and like just chuck it over to him. And it's just like, you know. Anyway, I guess the one thing is that I, you know, what I found is that, you know, volunteering could be somewhat of a pain in the ass.
You expect probably like the normal everyday sort of hassles of dealing with people who don't like decisions and things like that. You don't necessarily expect somebody like, you know, threatening you with violence.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, and I don't have a problem with, like, I mean, we've had certain people who don't agree with some decisions that have been made, but they've been, like, you know, I mean, they've been, like, you know, very polite people. They said, you know, maybe instead of doing it this way, we did it this way, and I'm like, well, I mean, there are certain reasons why we did it that way. I understand your point of view, and, you know, we discuss it, whatever, and, you know, try to, you know, get them convey, like, my understanding of why, you know, it should be done this way. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, they've had certain, you know, certain reasonable suggestions about we thought of doing something this way, but they had another idea that maybe something else should be done. And, you know, we'll obviously, I mean, I don't have a problem with doing that. I mean, I'm like, you know, I am not omniscient. I don't know the answer to everything. But yeah, having to deal with, this guy is, there are certain people that just because they believe that they have money, that they believe that they are entitled to just walk all over everybody else. That's why I've been like all last couple of days I've been tied up with this junk. Plus yesterday, you know, after having been tied up all day with this, you know, also had to do Christmas shopping, which he actually got completely out of the way.
I'll just mention on Christmas shopping, and then I can hear your Christmas shopping tales. For the last few years, I've done this thing where basically, first of all, all online. Like, I avoid physical stores as much as humanly possible between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I mean, I haven't been able to avoid them completely, but basically, mostly. But the last couple of years, what I've done is basically, I've purchased one gift a day starting December 1st and going until, you know, the last day that I can get things shipped in time to get there before Christmas.
Okay.
I'll tell you, this time, so far, I forgot. I haven't started a damn thing yet.
Oh,
and
boy.
So I'll have to decide whether I whether I make it up. Like, today's December 5th. Do I go out, do I buy five things today and then go back to my one thing a day plan for the rest of the month? Or do I just say, fuck it, that's five less things I'm buying this year and go from here, you know?
You know, we bought yesterday. Look, this is what we did. We went to Macy's, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get there. You know how they always have this offer for 20% off if you have a credit card from a place or something? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing is that I've had a Macy's credit card for like 15 years. I mean, I never use it, but I know I have one. So therefore, I'm like, well, what the hell? I can't, you know, it doesn't matter. Keep offering me this stupid thing. But my wife goes and says, but honey, I don't have one. And I'm like, oh, shit, you're right. So then we brainstorm. I said, brilliant. Okay, all right. We're going to buy everything here. You know, whatever the hell somebody's going to get a gift right now, if it's an actual gift,
oh God,
it's from fucking Macy's. Okay? So we went on a 2.5-hour rampage with a list of all the people that we had to buy something and took care of everybody at Macy's. They actually had a sale in a couple of specific sections. I mean, we wound up getting on some shit almost close to 50% off
uh-huh.
on the stuff. Okay? with a discount. So the bottom line is that we managed to shop for everybody at I will say that at a significantly lower cost than I thought it was going to be. Okay. So, okay. And we did it inside of 2.5 hours. Everybody. I mean, my mother-in-law, my mother, my dad, my sister, my nieces, my nephews, my, you know, I mean, everybody went boom, one freaking shot. So I was, you know, me and my wife were very impressed with our ability to have done that so quickly. So, you know,
I'm speechless as well, you know, they're I'm amazed at your organization. There are certain people who do all their Christmas shopping before we even get to November, and I just don't understand those people. But you know,
no, I can't do that. That's lunacy. I mean, you know, no.
But so. You know, I will say one thing. This year, I got an email yesterday that shocked me. Well, and there are a couple Christmas related emails. Maybe I'll mention briefly. But one is from my dad, who is one of the people who every year for Christmas, birthdays, whatever, I have not the slightest clue what the hell to get to this buy man. Yeah, I have no idea. I know he reads a lot, but he doesn't want a Kindle. And in terms of what books he actually reads, you know, I have a vague idea of sort of the kind of stuff he likes, but he reads a lot, and so I don't know what he's read already, what he doesn't read already, and whatever. And so I have no idea. So for a few years, like he had sort of a wish list on this book sharing site, Bookmooch, I think it's called. You basically trade books with people. So I bought him books off that, but then there's nothing left on that list, and so I never. I never know what to get him.
My father is quite simple.
Wait.
Any shirt in black.
Okay. So for his last birthday, which was in this September, he asked, you know, he said, no gifts, please, except I want a rat.
A what?
A rat. Except not like...
I mean, a rat? A-R-A-T? Rat?
R-A-T. But not like go to the pet store and buy him a rat, or you know, have his house infested with rats. Neither of those things. No, he wanted sponsoring of a quote unquote hero rat is what they're called. And if you look at herorat.org, you'll find out about these things. Basically, they are rats that are trained as mine sniffers. So they go in various battle zones and places like that where there's, you know, all kinds of unexploded mines all over the place long after the conflicts have ended. These rats are basically trained to find them so that they can be dug up and disposed of safely rather than people stepping on them and you know, losing limbs or lives. And so
you can train a rat? Seriously?
Yeah. So anyway, so I adopted a rat.
Oh, be darned.
I adopted a rat for his birthday, and it's like, I don't know, $5-$10 a month or something for training this rat, you know? And so anyway, that's what he wanted for his birthday, and I did that. Of course, I couldn't resist actually sending something physical as well, so I sent him a little stuffed rat as well.
Is that your father on the frickin' cover of this webpage?
No, that is not my father on the cover of the
webpage. Gosh, he looks a lot like him. Okay.
But anyway, so it's a good cause, I guess. So I adopted a rat. No, but for
that's great. That's actually quite. I'm pretty cool. Okay.
So wow.
All right.
Anyway, and then for Christmas though, you know, he sends me an email a couple days ago, basically saying, you know, I have a request for Christmas.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Good.
He wants a TV.
That makes it simpler? No shit.
No. No shit.
Wow.
He wants.
I mean, does he have cable now?
Oh, no. He's had cable for a while. You know, it actually has DirecTV.
Yeah, I remember he told me. Oh, my gosh.
We set him up with DirecTV, you know, a decade ago. He's still got the same TiVo he had back then. And they have two TiVos in the house. One was for Cynthia, but she's off in college and doesn't really use it anymore.
Right, I remember at that time when it happened.
Basically, they watch baseball. Which is interesting to me because when I was a kid, you never watched baseball or any sports or anything.
Or sports, yeah. That's, I know. That's why you don't like any sports either.
But
yeah.
but apparently sometime in the last, you know, couple decades, you know, he got into baseball. So they watch baseball. But, you know, they've got, they've got like, you know, an old 13-inch or something color TV that's, you know, 20 years old or something. And so he's like, new flat screen TV, but not a big one. He wants like maximum like 20 inches or something. So
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so I can do this, you know. So cuz I'm like, look, you know, this is somebody I have for decades. I've had no freaking clue what to get this man. Ever.
And this man actually comes up with you with a specific request of something pretty reasonable, actually.
And I'm like,
you can get it.
I'm like, okay.
You know, yeah.
Done. You know, so I'm going to have to, I'll do some research and pick one that's appropriate for him, given his constraint.
Well, at least you work at the right company in order to be able to get one of these. So, okay, good.
So anyway, so that's interesting. And then, you know, I've had, there are a couple other people that have, you know, my mom made an Amazon wish list and is sort of like, you know, and we'll see. I just got a couple books on it. I don't know. I'll figure something out. And, but my sister, who's quite possibly listening to this podcast, has gone the other direction and says, I don't want anything. No gifts. No gifts, please. Please, no gifts. And I'm like, and she, in her original email, she's like, I suppose you'll insist on something. So I put a couple like books on my wish list, but if you do this, please get them used, blah, 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 blah. I went back and said, no, but look, if you want nothing, I'll respect your view. I'll give you nothing. So, you know.
Well, at least I can see the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree in that family. Okay. All right.
You know, I've been considering just sending an empty cardboard box, but, you know, Brandy.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
But
you know what that reminds me when I used to get your 3-cent checks, you know.
Yes.
And that's a story for another day, you know. But yeah, anyway.
The short version for everybody is Yvonne was very helpful and gave me a few loans during a few years where I was pretty tight, and I did eventually pay it all back, but for a few years I was horribly obnoxious, and like every month I would send him a check no matter what. And I had a little formula to determine how much I would send each month. And
each debtor would get how much they would get. Yes.
Yes. And you know, very often this would be a few cents, but I would send the damn check, you know?
Yes, he would. And I did cash them all, by the way. I believe I'm pretty sure I did.
Better than some of the other people I was paying off who never
well, one of the things about, well,
but you know.
One of the things about it was that I had a business at the time, so therefore I had to make daily deposits and send stuff to the bank. So when I got these in the mail, I'm like, well, I just fucking put it together with the rest of the deposit, whatever. It's not like I had to make a, you know, some of the people I know, they had to make a special trip, go to the bank, deposit a 3-cent check, what are you out of your damn mind? But since I was saying that I have to hold deposit out to the bank, here you go, send it off. There you go. So I put them all in. So,
so anyway, let's take a break. We've been going a while now, and we'll come back and we'll talk about something real. We'll talk about good old WikiLeaks, which has blown up and exploded over the last week. So we'll be right back. In a little bit after these messages or something. Bring me the elephant, 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 bring me the elephant
conference account information.
Okay, we are back from our exciting break. Before we start on WikiLeaks, during the break, I just came across an article in my reader that my newsreader that I thought I just needed to mention. Here we go. This is from Gizmodo. I'll give you the title in a second, but the article starts: Will Google survive with its financials intact? This is the question absolutely no one is asking today. After it was learned, the company will be forced to pay a Pittsburgh couple $1 for trespassing. And yes, they are the Borings. Aaron and Christine Boring of Franklin Park sued Google back in 2008 for taking a picture of their house using the widely loved and maligned Street View feature found in Google Maps. To snap the picture, the Borings said, the Google Street View car would have had to drive past a posted no trespassing sign and continue on for 1,000 feet before seeing the house. Anyway, the court action apparently ended, and they were awarded $1 from Google. The title, for anyone who wants to look at it, it was just posted Sunday, December 5th. Google trespass lawsuit nets Boring family $1 in damages.
Yeah, so let me ask a question. Okay, so what if they took a satellite picture? I mean, is that considered trespassing?
No, because apparently the law, when you own a piece of property, by default, mm-hmm. unless you arrange special rights or something, I believe your rights extend up to a certain altitude only.
Right.
And I forget how much it is. It's a few thousand feet or something. So people can do things above your house if they're above that distance. So, like, if you're taking a picture from a satellite, you're not trespassing at all over anybody's property. Whereas if you drive down their driveway and take a picture, you are.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
So, anyway.
All right. So, well, $1.
$1.
Yep.
And I know Google's
$1.
Sweating. So.
Yep.
WikiLeaks. So I'll give the summary of what's actually happened so far, which is WikiLeaks had another dump of documents. Apparently, most of these are still from that same source who's in jail somewhere, who leaked the video of the American troops killing some civilians a while back. This time, it's a huge bunch of State Department internal communications, with various diplomats reporting on meetings, things from the State Department Central going out to various ambassadors, things like that. And they're releasing them slowly. So, like, they've got a huge number of documents, and every day in the last week, and they're not even close to done yet, they're releasing sort of another batch of documents. There have been a number of interesting things in these documents that we can talk about, but I think they're worth talking about. The other thing, though, is that the government has been completely freaking out on their asses. In terms of pressure coming about on all kinds of folks. First of all, it is unclear whether or not the WikiLeaks organization actually broke any laws whatsoever. Because while the person who had access to these documents and leaked them fairly clearly did break some laws and some confidentiality agreements and all that kind of stuff, basically the judicial precedent that's happened in many cases, most notably the Pentagon Papers, during the Nixon administration, is that once something is leaked and once something is out, then it's out. And, you know, people can publish it. People can analyze it. People can do whatever they want. And the problem is the crime happens when the person leaks it, not when the press reports on that leak. There is some question about whether WikiLeaks' modus operandi, which is basically, hey, please send us leaks, is in some way inciting the crime. But in any case, it's
so whether they're a conspirator of the leak, not just a recipient of somebody, you know, leaking it. Okay.
Right. Right. Now, anyway, this stuff is unclear. However, you know, all kinds of things are in motion. There have been denial of services attacks against this website. Unclear of the origin. Could be private individuals.
Some people have claimed some private individuals have claimed responsibility for it. I saw earlier this week that one individual has claimed responsibility for it, and some people were given credence to his claim.
Yep, and then their hosting providers of this website have come under pressure, and a couple have pulled out. They're currently the current active hosting. Is in if you see pictures of it online, it's kind of funny because it's like a data center built into the side of a mountain in Sweden. So there's like rock and snow everywhere, and a little door going into the into the mountain. But that's still up and running, and that provider has said they would fight to keep it on. But the domain name system has been attacked, so that they potentially will. You lose WikiLeaks.org, I believe, has been pulled by their domain registrar. Of course, thousands of, maybe not thousands, but hundreds of mirrors have shown up and people with various URLs pointing back at their actual servers. So that, you know, you get WikiLeaks dot pretty much any country is heading there, so you can still get at it. And there are a number of other places that are mirroring it, both in terms of just, you know, a redirect to there so you can find it, or in terms of actually getting copies of all the stuff so that if it does goes down completely, it'll still be somewhere. What else? More recently, I think last night, PayPal pulled them and said they can no longer use PayPal to get donations and such. And again, the speculation that a lot of this is due to government pressure of some sort or another. And then you've had lots and lots of comments by government officials, people in the actual administration, also senators and congressmen, some of which stays pretty close to, hey, you know, all these documents are fairly damaging. We wish he hadn't released them. To others, basically comparing the founder, Julian, how do you say his name? Assange. Julian Assange to a terrorist and saying, you know, he's just as bad as Bin Laden. A lot of this just, okay, so now that's the basic situation. Oh, the contents of the cables, interesting stuff like bad behavior of certain diplomats, honest assessment of various foreign leaders, some information about the Iranian nuclear program and how they've been trying to get stuff, some interesting stuff about various Arab governments basically wanting the U.S. to get involved in Iran. There's some stuff about the U.S. government basically having completely written the proposed new Spanish copyright law. A bunch of stuff. Orders from Hillary Clinton to spy on various UN officials, which is against the various treaties that the U.S. has signed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All kinds of stuff. So enough about the basic background. I have some strong opinions on this, but Yvonne, why don't you go first? What do you think of all this that's going on?
I think my main I have one big problem with this entire thing. Okay, my thing is that, you know, there's one thing about going through, you get access to certain documents. Say you're like the guy who leaked the information. And what you go, you know, and you find out that some crime is being committed, so you want to expose it, okay? So you get those papers and you expose those. That's one thing. That's not what this guy did. This guy went and took every fucking conversation and communication that happened in the frickin' State Department and just vomited it all out there, okay? Indiscriminately. And I just find it reprehensible because it's one of the things about it's like if somebody went to my attorney's office and took all my confidential attorney-client privilege communication and just went and dumped it out there as well without discerning whether it was there was a crime committed or not, or whether it's something you want to expose. And by doing so, what it did is, like, right now everybody, I will guarantee that every fucking diplomat is walking around like a fucking paranoid saying, well, fuck, I ain't documenting anything ever again. Or I'm like, I'm not having a frank conversation with anybody on anything again. And that's the thing that I don't like about this.
Well, and a lot of people have spoken about this with that specific angle that, look, the end result of here, like, theoretically, WikiLeaks has said their mission is, increased transparency, but that the result of this kind of dump is actually going to be much less transparency because...
Absolutely!
You know, just like I was saying, I told the story a few times about the lecture we got at Merrill Lynch about documentation and email wasn't don't do bad things. It was, if you're going to do bad things, please do it on the phone instead of an email.
Not specific. They didn't say if you're going to do bad things. That's not what they said.
If you were having a conversation that could be misinterpreted or could be questioned as to its motivations or blah, 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 don't put it in writing, basically.
Right.
And that's the same thing that's going to happen here. I mean, is basically that I think you're right. A lot of things that had been in writing are probably going to be less so in the future, but having said that, I still think that, this is whether WikiLeaks does it or somebody else. This is I see the reaction of all the people against this, and I'm like, you're fighting a losing battle here. The bottom line is that technology today makes it very, very difficult to keep information constrained. Is it possible? Yes. Is it easy? No. Will a lot of things get out? Yes. And maybe the operating assumption absolutely positively does have to be, everything you say is going to end up in the New York Times eventually. And... is it really that bad if people are like actually thinking about, would I really want, my grandma to know I'm doing this before they do it? I don't know.
But a whole bunch of the stuff doesn't qualify to even that category. It's not that.
Well, yeah, no,
it's like,
I know.
For example, a diplomat asking another diplomat in Argentina about what their assessment of Cristina Kirchner, the president of Argentina, as a state of mind and how they operate and how they work with her husband.
Right.
Seriously, is that something? Is that an embarrassing question? But honestly, should that assessment really be published so everybody knows under what assumptions the government we're operating in terms of dealing with that government? That's what I don't understand. There is no discrimination in what the hell was released. This guy just grabbed a whole bunch of shit and just vomited it all out there. Okay. Yeah.
And without discerning anything. And as is the nature with such things, some of the things are completely innocuous, other than the fact that, basically, hey, guess what? Diplomats, when talking in what they think is private channels, speak undiplomatically, but it's in some cases maybe this causes a breakthrough in some of these relations. I mean, for God's sake, sometimes like the diplomatic language is fucking sickening. Oh yes, they had a frank conversation. Oh bullshit! Come on, just say what you mean.
That's totally true. But yet, at the same time, it's just
if we think the woman's a drunk and a drug addict or whatever, yeah, just come on, fucking say it. If we think Villasconi or whatever, the Italian guy.
You think that everything that you think say about your boss or. When you get upset about your wife, should be just out there. I mean,
do I think it should? Maybe, maybe not. Do I think it's inevitable and that fighting against it is a hopeless battle? Yeah.
My point is that the person who released this, you want to ask me, he committed something illegal, but beyond that, it was irresponsible.
I think his only problem is pretending to have any source of editorial thing. I think the way something like WikiLeaks should work is absolutely unmoderated. Anybody who feels like posting anything, post whatever the fuck they want to post, and boom, it's public instantaneously. Like, as soon as he exercises editorial judgment of any sort, I'm like, now he's playing with stuff. But like if you and you know, I realize like if you just have a place where anybody can post anything, of which, by the way, the entire internet is.
Is.
But, you know, people would post all kinds of stuff that's completely irrelevant. So, yeah, maybe you have to have somebody looking at it. Is this really a leak? I don't know. Is this a leak or is this porn? You know,
but this is like porn. This is these aren't leaks. That's even the problem. A fucking website calls itself WikiLeak. What fucking leak? I consider a leak the secret plans to assassinate the president of Venezuela. That's a fucking leak. Okay. You know, the fact that we maybe harbored, I don't know, terrorists in fucking Washington, D.C. that we knew were terrorists. Shit like this. But all this other shit? Really? I mean, no. No. Yeah. I mean, honestly, this fucking guy calls himself the guy to what was his motivation to releasing all of this shit anyway?
Well,
do you know?
No, well, what they have said publicly are two things. One, this is part of their overall mission of, you know, no secrets, everything transparent, blah, blah, blah. Two, they do believe that this contains a lot of embarrassing, implicating material that shows the U.S. having a different face publicly than they have privately, where they will have these negative opinions of world leaders. They will have these ideas about, you know, how things are operating that is at odds with the public stance.
And who doesn't? Are you kidding me? This is a leak? I mean, just because, you know, let me tell you something. If anybody believed differently, they're idiots. The way I'm talking, let me give you an example. Vladimir Putin, okay? God damn it, everybody knows in the fucking government thought that Vladimir Putin is a lunatic. Now, is it great diplomacy to go and call him out a fucking lunatic in front of everybody? No! No! That's why it's called diplomacy, you stupid fucks!
Okay, so I definitely hear you on some of those things. And, you know, having said that, I don't feel as strongly as you do about those type of things really needing to remain secret. However, I understand how it's more convenient if they are. Now, having said that, I should mention that Alex is joining me now because Brandy and Amy both have to go somewhere. So he's now standing next to me with a bowl of cereal.
Woohoo!
Anyway, I want to mention that, yes, some of those things are like that. However, there are within this huge dump. Yes. Hi, Alex. Within this huge dump, there are certain things that are more potentially something really was going on there. Like, for instance,
I totally agree.
For instance, there is the stuff about the spying at the UN, which seems fairly innocuous. Like, of course, you're going to ask them to find out what they can find out about the UN Secretary General. However, there are treaties in place that basically say we won't do that shit. There's also things I've seen about a case, one of these cases of extraordinary rendition, where we sent a suspected terrorist off somewhere or other, and apparently we were pressuring all sorts of governments to, you know, cover up the details of this and not investigate it. Once eventually it became clear that the person that we'd done this to was completely and totally innocent, and yes, Alex, and not related to anything. And so we pressured a bunch of governments. The guy was trying to, you know, do lawsuits and get evidence and blah, blah, blah. And we put a bunch of pressure to just bury that. So there are some things in this dump that are troubling.
I don't argue with that. I agree.
And then you're right. There's a lot of innocuous stuff. But, you know, frankly, one of the things about dumps like this is that if you've got a small organization that gets, like, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of these kinds of documents, you don't necessarily have the resources or the knowledge to know what's really most relevant and what's not. Part of this kind of dump is sort of crowdsourcing the analysis. So you release everything, and then everybody's digging through it looking for stuff that matters. And yes, there'll be lots and lots of stuff that doesn't matter, Yes, Alex. But those folks digging can find things that you might not even know is relevant.
No, I agree with that. I guess the one thing is that I just my point is that if me as a person, if I'm going to go, I work in an organization which I don't see any point of like divulging every communication that the organization did. However, do I feel that if I work for the government as a responsible citizen, I'd uncover some malfeasance and I can publish in order to stop that happening? Yes, absolutely. I feel that that is a public duty, but I don't feel that what he did for the most part covers that. I think what he fucking did is just honestly just irresponsible.
Let me ask about the reaction though, because like, irresponsible or not, you know, one of the things that bothers me about this is even if we all agreed this was completely irresponsible
and illegal,
you think it's illegal?
Not so much what WikiLeaks is doing. But what the analyst
so almost everybody agrees that the guy who actually leaked this stuff probably did something illegal. The guy's sitting in jail right now waiting for trial on the first set of things he leaked. So I'm more interested in WikiLeaks itself, because basically there has been a massive campaign to shut these people down.
What WikiLeaks has did is illegal. I think it's irresponsible, but I don't think it's illegal.
Well, and here's where I'm at. Like, I'm not sure how irresponsible it is either. But even if I grant you that it was irresponsible, then I know. Hold on, let me pick up Alex here. He's asking for. And I'm gonna unplug my headphones here so I can hear you because he's taking the headphones. Okay. Even if you grant that it's irresponsible, I think that the witch hunt that has been going after these people is far more damaging. We've got the government actively, whether it's officially the administration or other people in government or whatever, the pressure that's being put on all kinds of folks to not have to shut these down, to ostracize them, to paint them as the devil. Yeah, I think this is irresponsible. I think this is, you know, whether you like what they've done or not, I think this is a case of, you know, our open society should embrace the ability and right for people to do irresponsible things, you know, and I think that any sort of, all of these efforts to shut them down are just very disturbing to me. And then we've got like, you know, them going after, in Sweden, these sex charges against him, which turns out, by the way, I sent Yvonne an article earlier. It's not actually rape. What he's actually being charged on is, sort of not using a condom or something weird like that. But
what?
I sent you an article earlier this week. I forget the reference, but, apparently in Sweden, under certain circumstances, that's a crime, and that's what he's actually being charged with. International manhunt for this guy, and playing around with the DNS thing, and basically there are all kinds of people. And one of the more recent things is, you know, warnings going out to people saying, don't look at this stuff if you value your career. If you ever intend to work in government, don't go to their website. Don't comment on this stuff at all. Don't read about it, you know. And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. You know, like, yeah. Specifically, the State Department apparently, you know, at some job fair or something, was telling students at some college, basically, you know, if you want to be employed here, don't even think about this, you know? And I'm like, come on, you know, if I am an engaged citizen, I should be looking at this stuff. I should be reading about it. I should be absorbing everything I possibly can about it. And that does not mean that if I take a job at the State Department tomorrow, that I'm immediately going to leak every paper I got. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, the overreaction here is massive. And I think this is yet another case where, you know, the proper response is probably really, really low key. You know, I wish they hadn't done that, but we'll deal with it and move on. You know, as opposed to, you know, all this, you know, we must shut them down. They're evil. They're causing, and people calling the guy traitorous. He's not even a fucking American. You know, if he wants to do something with the intent, express purpose of damaging the U.S. government, that's fully within his fucking rights.
Well, but I will say this, and I think, I honestly think that is it also within the frickin', you know, within the U.S. rights to try to, if I were the government, I'd be trying to stop any further publication of everything else that he's got. And I'd probably use every frickin' means that I could, to be honest with you. Because those documents were classified as, the, you know, not for release the way they should be, and I would try to stop any further, you know, dissemination of them.
I can see that point of view, and I could see the point of view of potentially even considering this kind of stuff, you know, a hostile enemy act or something, if it is with the express purpose of hurting the government. But nonetheless, yeah. I think it fundamentally, as a Western liberal democracy, we should celebrate the spread of information, and we should not be doing shit with the intent purpose of keeping things out of out of people's view, especially like, okay, I can understand keeping the secrets while they're your secrets, but once they've escaped, then suck it up and fucking
But I think
it.
that's the one thing they're trying to do. They're trying to stop this stuff from actually escaping. There is additional
escaped.
Stuff if that we, has it, not been No, but I'm talking about the stuff that hasn't been released. I mean,
no,
because
no,
I'm sure
I,
they
I know what you're talking about. If WikiLeaks already has it, it has already escaped. If it is no longer in the secure hands of somebody in the government, it has already escaped. Whether or not they've published it on the internet yet, whether or not it's been in the New York Times yet, it has already escaped.
I understand that, but if I were in their shoes, I'd be trying to stop it. Even if it's just in their hands, it hasn't been published, I'd try to stop it.
Okay, well, let's take a break. It's time for the poem of the week. We'll be back with a little bit about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and maybe about the economy. We're running a little long, though, so we'll see. We'll be back after this.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by No-Tell Motel.
War Relics by Kiana Towns. 1. In a house divided, even the insects have to choose sides. The roaches know three things. 1. The cast iron skillets off limits. 2. Women call out to God even when they're fucking angry. 3. If the world enters the room, hide the children from light. 2. In Korea, the messmen kept their dicks cupped in their palms as they slept. They peeled back the foreskin before dawn in anticipation. 3. In this house, we tap out our secrets on flesh. One tap to the age line tells time of its wastings. A fingernail to each palm means it as well. 3 fists to the gut mean infinity. This is the sign language of sin. This is how we figure the women.
For more like this, go to notellmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, we are back. I'm Sam, Yvonne's here, and Alex is running around the room squealing and making noise. See? Yes, I know. Here, wait, let's see if we can give you your drum. How about this? Okay, so Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's finally coming up in the Congress for review. They're trying to shove something through in the lame duck Congress to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell and let gays and lesbians serve openly in the U.S. military. The government came out with a study. The military came out with a study that they've done over the last few months, basically saying that that any negative impact this would cause in morale or readiness is minimal, and they feel they can absorb it without any significant impact to any of our critical operations. And so now realizing that it probably would be almost impossible to pass such a repeal after the new Republican House and strong and weaker Democratic Senate takes office in January, they're trying to shove it through now. And they're having hearings and such. And basically, I think the most interesting thing that's come out of the hearings is actually John McCain continuing to sort of make a fool of himself, because his view on this is has basically, he keeps moving the goalposts. He's said at various times that I would be okay with this, if the military's okay with it, or whatever.
Things. So then the military says they're okay with it, and then it's like. It's something else.
And basically, I've seen a number of people comment on, the decline of John McCain, from where he was, a decade ago or whatever, is so dramatic. He's gone from, at one point he really did have the reputation of being, the reasonable Republican who, was open to new ideas and would compromise and do things and blah, 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 and stand up for things that the rest of Republicans weren't and all kinds of things like that. He went way right for his election, obviously, which he, as we all know, lost. But then ever since, oh my God, he's just been a cranky old bitter man, it's every time you see him on TV, he almost drips with contempt of Obama. He's like, I can't believe this man beat me. No matter what he might have thought before, he's automatically against everything the man's done. And he's just is like a cranky old defeated man, and it's sad to see, kind of, and a little amusing. But so any other thoughts on Don't Ask, Don't Tell? I mean, I've basically said, every time we've talked about this, I'm like, eventually this is going to happen. Eventually gay marriage is going to happen. All of this is just a question of timing. And so the question is right now, does this happen now or does it happen later? And does it happen with legislatures or does it happen with the courts?
Well, I think the one thing is that given, that not even the extension of the current tax cuts that the tried to enact couldn't pass. I don't see whether this lame duck Congress can get anything passed at this moment, to be honest with you.
Well, and the Republicans have pretty much said that their strategy at this point is block everything. Everything. Right. So. Doesn't matter what the hell it is, block everything. Now, they probably will still go in for the unanimous declarations of, National Fresh Bologna Day or whatever. But anything that matters, and anything that matters, they've pretty much said that, they're going to block it no matter what, and even on things where traditionally you would have thought that the Republicans would have come together. And like, an example is the New START treaty. This is the kind of treaty that historically in the past has been bipartisan and passed by unanimous or near unanimous margins. And you've got, pretty much every ex Secretary of State from Republican administrations, not every, but a bunch of prominent Republican ex Secretaries of State saying, yeah, this is a good treaty, we should sign it. But nevertheless, it's being blocked, because it's not about the content of the treaty. It's about the strategy right now is keep the administration from doing anything.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's a strategy, I don't know, but it's been shown before that, eventually you got to do something. I mean, you can't just sit over there and just keep saying no to everything. So we'll see how long this goes. I mean, the last time, that they tried this strategy of blocking everything, the Republicans wound up getting their asses kicked in the next presidential election. So. Now, I will say, look, they have softened some of their stance on a lot of this block everything.
That's true. There are specifically a few senators who are starting to sound more reasonable. Like, what one example is Scott Brown from Massachusetts, who took Ted Kennedy's seat. When he was elected, it was hailed as, you know, a massive victory for the Republicans, and it was. It got rid of the 60 vote margin the Democrats had in the Senate. However, you know, he's a moderate Republican. He's said he's going to be in favor of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He signaled his willingness to compromise on various other things and work with the Democrats. We still have the two Republican senators from Maine who are in the same kind of situation. We'll see. But nevertheless, on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, your thought is nothing's going to happen in the lame duck Congress. And eventually this is all going to, you know, the courts are going to settle this?
Or is it going to wait for the
next Democratic Congress?
I think that eventually you'll be forced, like, either into courts or even, like, you know, whatchamacallit. I mean, even the military will probably do something by itself without congressional action at some point.
Right.
So,
I mean, like, you could – and the Obama administration has – you know, a lot of people for a long time have been saying, well, the administration can just decide not to enforce this anymore.
Right.
And the administration has balked on that for what I think are good reasons, which is basically, you know, part of the duty of the executive branch should be to enforce legally enacted laws, you know, and setting not that the precedent doesn't already exist, but emphasizing the idea that the president can decide which laws to enforce and which laws not to, I think is very dangerous. You know, you want...
No, I agree. I because this has happened before. However,
I should say, I think you could make a legitimate case that when a lower court declares the law unconstitutional, that the government should not necessarily be obliged to appeal it all the way to the Supreme Court, which they're doing.
That's right.
So the Obama administration has been, you know, sort of playing both sides of this. I think they could have said, oh, the courts declared this unconstitutional, you know.
Okay.
Okay. and not appealed it
all
further.
Right. It is.
And then, you know, be done.
Yeah.
And that is one potential way to deal with it. So anyway, that's Don't Ask, Don't Tell. As I mentioned, we're running long, but let's take a really quick break and then come back and talk a little bit about the economy, and then we'll wrap it up. So enjoy your break. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. Still, nobody has sent me any ideas about breaks. Send me ideas about breaks. Okay, we'll be right back.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620 and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, here we are. We're back. Yvonne, economy, what's going on? I've heard there was more bad news this week.
Well, there was a combination of news. There was some good news and there was some bad news. I mean, here's one thing. ADP... which is this payroll processing company, showed that private sector jobs, actually, there was a lot of hiring in the private sector. However, the overall employment report showed the opposite, but that which also included government hiring. So we had some conflicting news there. However, consumer sentiment was pretty high, the highest it's been in a while. There were also some other positive economic indicators. So there's a combination of indicators going back and forth a little bit. Now, you know, the other thing that had been holding over the economy was their crisis in the Eurozone, with basically Ireland having to get a bank bailout, which we didn't talk about earlier. And I mean, one of the problems that they have in one of the problems with the damn Eurozone versus how we have a our economy and how our Federal Reserve works is that, you know, their banking system is still fragmented, whereas you have a European Central Bank, but with a banking system that still rules and regulations, so still fragmented across a whole bunch of different countries.
Right.
And so it's not like over here where we have a unified federal structure that federally regulates the banks and that can go and borrow and issue debt and do whatever. And there's like some cohesive federal deposit insurance structure. And it happens that, you know, over here, I mean, fuck, the Federal Reserve can do a whole bunch of shit. Okay, in order to prop up a bank that you can't really easily do in the Eurozone. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and that's why they are struggling every time that there is some kind of a issue in a country. It's a struggle in order to get to do the same kind of action that we can do a lot easier in order to prop up a bank. Think, for example, TARP. Okay, I mean, you know, it's just and so every country right now is just going through this. To this mess of this, and some people have been rather reluctant to purchase debt from some of the European countries because they think they might default. And you got a pretty toxic cocktail with this thing. You know, I will tell you that one of the things I keep thinking is that, unfortunately, because of the way the Eurozone got structured, honestly, the Euro just isn't showing to be such a hot idea. To be honest with you. You know, if you were going to put together a freaking central currency, you also needed to put a central bank regulator, a central way to issue debt that was, you know, independent of almost every country, and a certain way to fund that monetary system. Right. And that's just not the way it is.
So the problem here was not necessarily, you know, moving to a unified currency. The problem was going halfway. You know,
that's exactly right.
You know, and like there are many, many situations where, yeah, something may be a good idea, but if you go do it a half-ass way, it's not a good idea anymore. You have to like fully commit yourself or you're putting yourself in trouble. I mean, the typical example always being building half a bridge, you know, but
yeah, pretty much doesn't really help that much. But if you think about, for example, let me give you an example. Say if Ireland, for example, had this issue with right now with the banks, what would they do? Their central bank would go and just print fucking money, you know, and be done with it. Okay, but you can't do that anymore. I mean, right now, one of the things that the Federal Reserve in the U.S. is doing is buying frickin' in order to help out there in the economy, since the federal government is issuing so much debt. Okay. In order to make sure that investors go and buy private enterprise debt, is that the Federal Reserve itself is buying up a lot of our debt. They're just fucking printing money, period. The printing presses are flowing, baby, okay? And, okay, we could do that easily, not without a problem, okay? But you can't really do that, so you can't really do that in the Eurozone. And that's the problem. Hmm. And so, you know... I mean, I think that the other thing that I thought economically was a positive, I don't know if you saw, you know, the Deficit Commission finally came out with their recommendations.
Well, yeah, but wasn't it dead on arrival? They didn't get the number of votes they needed to actually make it a recommendation. So they just...
They didn't, but yet at the same time, I think it certainly put a lot of things on the plate that people are
talking about.
Are talking about and giving some serious consideration. And this was stuff before that was like third rail stuff before that nobody would think of. Okay, such as the explicit proposals to increase the age of eligibility for Social Security, increase the put some tests for income. The proposals basically on radically restructuring the tax code to eliminate all the deductions that there are built out there and actually replace them with more simplified rates, cutting corporate taxes to a certain extent and making that part of the code also simpler as well. I mean, there's a lot of things in there. I mean, it's a fucking plan.
So let me ask you this thing. One of the debates that I've heard a lot over the last couple of weeks is basically a number of people on the left mainly saying, look, the deficit is a problem, but we would be insane to try to make it our priority while we still haven't fully recovered from the downturn of the last few years. And that, yeah, the timing is not right. Yes, it's a problem. We can't, if we fixed it now, we'd make things worse. What do you think?
And if we went right now immediately this week and went and cut government spending by 30% we'd fucking go into a fucking recession. I mean, in a fucking depression tomorrow. I mean, yeah, no, that's right. But that's not what the plan calls for, okay? I mean, the plan calls for changes that evolve over time. I mean, it's not a big bang, okay? So I think that, you know, as with everything, I mean, you know, there are ways to approach it. I think that the one thing is that we need to approach it in a certain way that, yes, we don't go there right now, but there are certain things that we can cut, like, immediately, like, you know, a whole bunch of recommended cuts in military spending, for example. Fuck, you know? It's like, I mean, and the cuts in military spending doesn't mean making people unemployed in the army. It just means bringing the fucking troops home.
Right.
Stop the fucking overseas operations. A whole bunch of them. I mean, and cut hundreds of billions of dollars out of our spending, you know? So, you know, there are things in there that we can do that simply where we're just bleeding money into shit that is just not giving a return on investment to the nation, and we can get rid of those, and we can cut the deficit. And I think we seriously need to consider them. And the fact that, you know, increasing the age of eligibility for Social Security and Medicare and, like, means testing it, you know, I think that's all – I mean, that's fine. And the other thing is, you know what? I've said this before. I've said this again. When you're taxing people that are making, you know, over $1 million a year, like, instead of, say, 36%, you're taxing them 38%. I'm sorry. You know what? That really does not affect their spending one iota whatsoever. It will cut the deficit, but it sure as hell doesn't affect their spending. And everybody out there that keeps saying that it will have some incredible impact on the economy is just fucking delusional. Okay? Delusional. Okay? If you were telling me that you were going to take the top rate from 35% to 70%, now I'll go with you and say, yes, that would have an impact. But when you're talking about moving a couple of points and fucking people are having a conniption about it, you know what? Give me a fucking break, you know? Just give me a fucking break. So, anyway.
Okay. So yeah, are you still optimistic about just general directional?
I think general directional. I mean, it's going where it's supposed to be. I mean, the problem. I mean, we had a lot of problems, but it's slow. I mean, you know, we just went through the worst fucking economic downturn the country has had in 60, 70 years. It just doesn't get fixed overnight, people. And, you know, there's still a lot of problems, but they are being, you know, houses are being foreclosed. People are moving on. There's a lot of changes in the market. You know, I think that, you know, things are moving. Okay. It's not the speed that, you know, it's been before, but things are moving. That's what I see.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up. We're, once again, for several weeks in a row now, we're significantly over an hour. So we'll wrap it up and say goodbye. As usual, everybody, please email me, abelsmay@abelsmay.com, with any questions, thoughts, comments, things you wish we would talk about, things you wish we would stop talking about, you know, offers of money to have specific opinions. We're all about that. you know, just let us know. Otherwise, tell your friends to listen. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.